It's Friday of the fifth week of Lent. It's Passion Tide. We are 1 week out from Good Friday, and therefore it is the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zosmer. Station is Santo Stefano Rotondo in Monte Celio. When the relics of the proto-martyr St. Stephen the Deacon were recovered in Jerusalem, they were brought to Rome in 415 and placed in the interesting Santo Stefano Rotondo, the ancient round basilica consecrated in the early 5th century. It is indeed round, and originally it had three ambulatories, but over the centuries it was reduced to two. It is built in the remains of a military barracks, and there is also beneath it a shrine to the pagan god Mithras. St. Gregory the Great preached sermons in this church. The bishop's throne he would have sat on as he preached is preserved. Over the centuries, the basilica was damaged through invasion and then neglect. However, this is a must-see when you go to Rome. It has been recently restored. We are today 1 week from Good Friday, and as such, it is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Today it is possible in the older form of the Roman Rite to celebrate Mass for the Feast of Our Lady, counterintuitively with white vestments and even a Gloria. Mary, as sorrowful mother, is often depicted in art as being pierced through the heart with daggers or swords, as an echo to the prophecy made by Simeon at the time of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. He foresaw that in the Passion of the Lord, Our Lady would be so much in union with her divine Son's will, almost like she was co-redemptrix, that she too would feel great anguish. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows gained special attention after St. Bridget of Sweden, who died in 1373, learned from Mary that seven graces are granted to the souls who honor her daily by saying seven Hail Marys and meditating on her tears and sorrows. The seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary are the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of Jesus in the temple, Mary meets Jesus on the way to the cross, Jesus dies on the cross, Mary receives the dead body of her son, Jesus is laid in the tomb. Here's the collect for Our Lady of Sorrows. Let us pray. O God, in whose passion the sword, according to the prophecy of blessed Simeon, pierced through the soul of Mary, the glorious Virgin and Mother, mercifully grant that we who reverently commemorate her piercing through and her suffering may, by the interceding glorious merits of all the saints, faithfully standing by the cross, obtain the abundant fruit of your passion. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Here's what Pius Parsh says about the Mass for Our Lady of Sorrows. The Mass has a famous sequence, the Stabat Mater, certainly one of the finest religious poems from the Middle Ages. On some counts, the formulary departs wholly from the traditional liturgical forms, for example, the Introit without a psalm. The breviary hymns are taken from the sequence. To compare the somewhat austere ferial liturgy with the highly emotional festal Mass would be very instructive for anyone who desires to penetrate more deeply into the spirit of the Church's liturgy. The Passiontide Mass presents the suffering Christ in prophecy, Psalms, in figure, Jeremiah, and in history, Gospel, the decision to put him to death. Jesus himself speaks, or the events are described objectively. Our emotions are not brought into play. Very different is the spirit characterizing the Feast of the Seven Sorrows. Here, sentiment and emotion are strong. We see Christ's agony through the heart of his mother. She is our guide. She teaches us how to suffer and sympathize with her son. Where the ancient liturgy stops, the newer form begins. The old gives theology and history. The new stimulates our hearts and feelings. Thus one complements the other.